Think I got it on now. There we go. Good morning. Thanks for coming out to church. We appreciate it. This is awesome. Are there any first-time visitors here that have never been to a Living Grace church? Anybody? Great. Great to have you. What's your name? Todd? Kyle. I turn my hearing aid up. That's Kyle. It's great to have you. Thanks for coming. We appreciate you being here. That's awesome. Yeah. Listen, there is a reason that my brother is not in this pulpit today. He is turning 89. And I know he looks like he's turning 89. Payback is sweet. I hope you're watching, bro. But he didn't want to face people on his birthday. That's why he didn't come today. So I got the call late. Listen, next week he will be here. His birthday is on the 12th. He is 6 years older than I. He struggles with the mental problem of being a middle child. That's a syndrome. If you're a middle child, you really struggle with that. He does. Will you come, please, next week and just make a hoot about his birthday? I mean, every bad, pranked, old person's card you could bring, please bring it, and please just, you know, just really wear him out. That would be a great joy to his younger brother's endeavor here. So, he shouldn't put me in the pulpit when it was his birthday. There was other people he could have chosen, like, where's Pastor Wheelock? Where is he? Right? You know? Pastor Kevin, see, they're all missing. They all just went AWOL. And they were stuck with me. I'm sorry. So for you at home, if at all you feel comfortable, come on in here. Just crowd in and please give him all kind of prank jokes. He needs it. Hey, we are today going to jump into Romans chapter 4. It's always a treat. I do, listen, as much as I make it a joke, it is always a treat to preach the Word of God and to be able to just study, to be able to bring a message that maybe God has touched your heart with. And I don't know if it touches you, but it sure touched me, and so we're just going to share it, and hopefully you get blessed by it. Romans chapter 4 is sort of an illustration of all that Paul has talked about in Romans chapter 3. He's going to illustrate it. He's going to bring up some characters like Abraham and David, and he's going to go further on, and he's going to share what justification, really the key theme of that book of justification, what it produces, what's the outcome of justification, all plays out in Romans chapter 5. We won't at all get close to Romans chapter 5 except for maybe just touching on some points there. But Romans chapter 4 is just a beautiful portion of Scripture, and I want to read this to you. Everybody knows who Charles Haddon Spurgeon was. He says this about verse 5. He makes this statement. I've heard that men that hate the doctrines of the cross bring it as a charge against God, and that he saves the wicked men and receives to himself the vilest of vile. See how this scripture accepts the charge and plainly states it. You thought you did not, that salvation was for the good, that God's grace was for the pure and holy, who are free from sin. It has fallen into your mind that if you were excellent, then God would reward you. And you have thought that because you're not worthy, therefore you could be no way of you, you're enjoying his favor, you must be somewhat surprised to read a text like this. Him that justifieth the ungodly. I do not wonder that you are surprised, for with all my familiarity with the great grace of God, I never cease to wonder at it. Every one of us have such a privilege. God has just bestowed upon every one of us this grace. There's not one of us here. Now, I know there are a lot of you that are really good, and you probably do rank right up there. But for most of us, it is the ungodly that God shows us grace and mercy. And he shows it all the time when we never deserve it, we haven't earned it, we haven't lived up to it, we couldn't pray it enough, we couldn't be good enough, we couldn't be sinless enough, we can't be holy enough. None of that will matter. God shows his grace to us. And that's what this chapter of Romans chapter 4 just illustrates, is this incredible gift of God. My aim is to so that we could have maybe an understanding of this doctrine. At the core of the gospel, and just like Spurgeon, he says it this way, we will worshipfully wander. We will worshipful wander that God has justified you and I today. So, Father, we thank you for this grace. So undeserved. Your blood that was shed for each one of us, that was in mind, as Pastor shares, on the cross, as he's going through the book of John. We read these texts and we understand what you've done for us. We ask that you would just bless our time in your word. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before we get there and before I have you stand, I want to just maybe just give you a little background. We talk about Abraham, who is shared quite a lot here in this book. And another character that is mentioned is David. Abraham, probably the first one that we'll read in Romans chapter 4 illustrated, is probably the crown jewel, the perfect choice, probably the best illustration. I don't think there is no other illustration that you could have of somebody that has come to understand what being justified means, or being justified by faith means. Abraham is considered the father of the nation of Israel. Islam respects and pays homage to Abraham. We in Christianity look to Abraham as somebody that is like, wow. At age 75, he gets the call to pull out of the Ur of Chaldees. God calls him out from his relatives to a land that he promised that he would give him. Abraham, it says, believed God. And that belief system was what turned towards meriting him as righteousness, justification, because he believed. Abraham probably if we could say who would be a person like that that we respect here, maybe. Now, in this day and age, it's hard to say who you respect, because maybe who you did respect, maybe you don't respect now, or boy, shame on you for respecting. But I'd say George Washington probably would be on that pedestal as for us as Americans. Excuse me. He has a standard, a statute, a position in this country. We look up to him. In the same way, the nation of Israel, Jewish mindset, looked up to Abraham and still do. But they consider Abraham as just as they in a relationship similar to that as God is. They're related to Abraham, and Abraham's related to God, and so they correlate that. They're related to God, and they're chosen. They're Jews. They're superior. They're the chosen nation. People haven't treated them that way, but that is from a Jewish mindset. That is who Paul is addressing here in this Roman letter. He uses this person of Abraham. Genesis 15:6, and this is where we get this. Abraham believed God in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham wasn't circumcised at this time. Abraham wasn't righteous because he was circumcised or performed a ritual or a rite, R-I-T-E. Abraham wasn't a good boy. So that's why he is righteous. It says simply, he believed in the Lord. Now I want to say to all of you here, if you've believed in the Lord, that is what the Word of God says. It was merited. It was reckoned. That is an accounting term. We'll get into that. It was credited to him as righteous. The Jews could fight this in Scripture, but they would really have a problem fighting it from a chronological order. The next person that comes into Romans chapter 4 that we'll just really touch on is David. He's probably considered the greatest king of all of Israel. There wasn't a greater king. You know what the thing was about David? He was probably a great sinner. He knew how to do that. He had that down. And you know the other great thing about David? He knew how to confess his sin and repent and apologize to God and own up to what he did wrong and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, think about the king that was in front of David. It was Saul. Did you ever hear Saul say, hey, I'm sorry? Did you ever hear Saul say, I repent? I have sinned against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned? No, what did Saul do? He made an excuse. There was a reason. These people caused me. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson. I know that's dating myself here. It's okay. I don't mind being dated. I'm just not as old as my brother. always blaming somebody else. David didn't blame anybody else. He knew he was a sinner. And he knew that God could save a sinner. And he repented. And God, he knew that he could enjoy fellowship when he went back to God and repented of his sins, and that he was restored back to God. Can I just say, for all of us, we have these testimonies, these examples to go right back to for every single one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah on that. If you go on in Romans chapter 4, verse 9, it really deals with the circumcision and justification by right. There's no justification by right. That means for all of you that think that you've come to church so you get your gold star or you get your check mark and you're like, woohoo! I'm sorry to tell you, God doesn't see it in those terms. He so much appreciates that you come and you give respect to the Word of God being preached. He loves that you humble yourself to take time to listen to the Word of God, because from the Word of God there comes life. It sure is not because of me or because of the person that owns this pulpit, but God somehow uses people like us, sinners, saved by grace, to preach something that maybe God, the Holy Spirit, inspires and touches and takes and moves into your heart and says, wow, how did he know what I was going through? How did that pastor, who tipped him off to where I was at in my life? That's not him. That is God Almighty inspiring these words to speak to your heart through a living Holy Spirit that breathes inside of you, lives inside of you. And then, starting in verse 13 on to through 25, it deals with the law and keeping the law, and you get justified because you kept the law. Well, I hate to be the bearer of news. Good for you guys that are driving 55 miles an hour on Interstate 5. You have everybody and his brother passing you like Shazam. They're on a race there. So we jump back here. One other point that really I want to, before I do have you stand, and I am going to have you stand, there's this word in verse 3. I'll read this. Let's all stand. Let's just do something different. I think it's healthy to stand when the Word of God is spoken, when we read Scripture. Pastor makes us do it. I love that he does. I listen a lot to Chuck Swindoll. Love Chuck Swindoll. He always asks his congregation to stand up when the Word of God is spoken and when we're reading Scripture. So let's start. We're just going to read, I think, 8 verses, and we're going to start in verse 1. And then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as favor, but as what is due. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. That's Psalm 32 there. But let's go back just to verse 3. This word right here, right there. Greek word doesn't really matter what the Greek word, it's logizomai. It's the Greek word. I don't say that for any reason. But when you study Scripture, one of the key ingredients to studying Scripture is when a word is repeated over and over and over and over again. 11 times in Romans chapter 4, you can be seated. 11 times logizomai is referenced, credited, reckoned, put on the account of. I transfer from and I put it on your credit to. We got bookkeepers in here that understand that when you somebody takes and they pay an invoice or they pay a bill off, it is put onto their account and that account is credited. That's what this word means. Credited, reckoned, imputed to, given something to someone is what the word references. 11 times it's referenced in this chapter. You think that's an important maybe point that Paul's trying to make? This thing about credit, accounting, bookkeeping, let me put it on their ledger. What are we putting? What are we reckoning? What are we giving? What are we accounting to? We are crediting to him what? Woo! Righteousness. That's what we're crediting. We're crediting righteousness. It's not because you deserve righteousness. It's not because you've done the right, R-I-T-E, and you, okay, that gives you righteousness. It's not because that you are superior, you're chosen, and so, okay, that gets you righteousness. It's not because you follow the law. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. But that doesn't get you righteousness. He gives you righteousness because you have made a choice to believe in him, just like Abraham did when he heard the voice of God that called him out of the era of Chaldees. That is what was merited to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. Let me just point them out. Verse 3, we showed it. Look at verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wages is not credited as a favor, grace, but as what is due, payment, compensation. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him, justifies the ungodly. Who's he justifying? The ungodly. Faith is credited as imputed, reckoned, put on his ledger. Righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessings unto the man to whom God reckons, imputes, puts on his ledger, puts it on his account. Okay, he credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith is credited, put on his account, logizomai. It's put on his ledger. He is seen as something. Someone has given him something, and now they see them totally different. Okay? That was credited to Abraham as righteous. How then was it credited? How was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He wasn't doing a rite, R-I-T-E. He wasn't doing some ritual. Well, I've done this, so that gets me into heaven. That's wonderful. Paul is dismissing this, because he's dealing with the Jewish mindset. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while uncircumcised, so he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be what? Put on his account, credited into his ledger, a bookkeeping actual task that I take the number and I write it down on his books, and he is seen as greater than what he was. That's how God sees this. Therefore, it was also credited to him, verse 22, to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited, put on his account to him, but for our sake also. I'm not going to get to this portion of Scripture. There's not enough time. To whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's quite a term. This is why when you get to study the Word of God and you find little nuggets like this. Now, I probably knew this, but man, this is rich. And then I'll just point it out, I don't have it. But let me just point this out in chapter 5. Yes. The results of being justified. Here they are. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What's the result of justification? It's peace. That's not it. Verse 2 talks about an introduction by faith into this grace, an access into this faith, into this grace. He also talks there in verse 2 that we also have a standing. So I'm justified. I have peace, I have access, I get to stand. And then he gets into, we have a hope also, a hope in the glory. We get to have joy in this hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we also have joy in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out on us. So all of these are the fruits of justification, where we have peace, we have standing, we have access, we have joy, we have hope, we have the love of God, and the Holy Spirit is given to us, and we have that inside of us. And it says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We have an immunity. It's great they got shots out here for everything, but man, I got an immunity that comes through the Word of God. I'm not relating that to any virus or anything. I'm just saying we as Christians have an immunity. When we've accepted Christ into our heart, we have an immunity from this world system. Boy, it can press on us, it can impose on us, but it can't capture our hearts. We have an immunity. And then we have this asset in his life. And then verse 11 says, we have received reconciliation. That's chapter 5. We definitely don't make it there. As we think about all that God has done for us, boy, how we get worked up over the simplest, minor details. You get in grocery line. You're behind this person. Could be my wife. They pull out these coupons. Could be my daughter, yes. And you're like, oh, Lord, and they're expired coupons, and they're trying to get the checker to try to work through this thing, and they pull out this whole pocketbook of coupons, and you're like, I was just trying to get behind somebody that was going to be quick so I could get in, get out, please. Right? We get so worked up over things, don't we? Person driving. What happened at work? What the kids are doing? What my husband has said? What is going on in various things that may be taking place? We get worked up. But boy, just to have God's divine viewpoint, isn't it? That's what God wants. He wants us to have his viewpoint. And so we jump in here. Verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham our forefather according to the flesh has found? Again, to the Jewish mind, Abraham was the father. The word forefather there has, in commentaries, it speaks that they were just fathers from a physical sense. They really didn't have a touch or a tie-in into the beyond just a physical sense. He was a forefather, physical sense. He didn't tie into the heart. He didn't tie into the relationship. It's just physically the forefather. He was a forefather according to the flesh. Flesh there has a connotation of works. It equals human efforts. What shall we say then? Abraham, our father, physically, according to the flesh, according to human efforts, what has been found? In the Jewish mindset, believed that Abraham was somebody that was so much on that pedestal. I'm a Jew. I'm of Abraham's lineage. And he had a relationship to God. That means I have a relationship to God. And so I've got this standing. That was in the Jewish mindset. And their human efforts according to the flesh. What have they found? Paul says, hey, listen, if you want to go about credentials, and you want to talk about credentials, Philippians chapter 3, I can tell you, I'm confident when it comes time to the flesh. I can tell you about the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I'm circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, he says there in verse 4 and 5. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, I'm found blameless. That's what Paul says. If you want to have confidence in the the works, the human efforts, the flesh, I can hang right with you. Let's compare. Let's see who can stand up. I think I can stand up better. That's what Paul says. What has he found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. He can sure brag. And you know what? Abraham could. Paul could also brag. But not before God. Not before God. Let me take you to the tallest building in Seattle. I think it was at one point Columbia Towers. If I peeked over the top of the roof, for those that would be afraid of heights, I'm sorry, but just peek over and look down. I don't know how tall that building is. It's really tall. Or go to New York. It was the World Trade Centers at one point. The Empire State Building. Look down. When you look down and you see two people, can you tell the difference between a person that's 5'5" and somebody that's 6 foot? You see a person, don't you? You see another dot. That's another person. When you're looking down, you only see the dots. When we as human beings look out, we look horizontally, don't we? So I can tell when you're this tall or you're this tall. I can see, I have a perspective of horizontally how people relate. If I was going to see Paul in his day, man, he would be just some upstanding person. If I was to recognize Abraham, I'd say, wow, he's some incredible person. When I come to modern contemporariness, I think about Mother Teresa and I say, wow, she is somebody that is special. When I think about somebody like Charles Manson, maybe before your time, I'd say, wow, that guy cannot tie Mother Teresa's shoes. Or I think about Billy Graham. And I think about, you know, whoever. We all, as human beings, have this horizontal thought process, don't we? You know, God doesn't look horizontally. He looks down. He doesn't pay attention to anyone as far as maybe how good they are. Because there are a lot of great people. Or maybe they come to church all the time. Wow, that's incredible. That's awesome. And church is a great place to be. Or maybe they don't tell lies. Whoa, they are really good people. Hey, how about they really pray a lot? And they're praying people. That's incredible. They are repentive people. They apologize for their wrongs. Wow, that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't see people from how wonderful they are. He sees them only in one perspective, that they are a sinner. And they are ungodly. And they needed a Savior to come to this world to pay for their sins, to die on Calvary, to shed his blood, to become sin for them, so that they could be made the righteousness of God. If there's anybody that can boast, Abraham could boast. Abraham believed God. And it was reckoned, book kept, put to his ledger. You're a poor person. You don't have money. You haven't had money all your life. Somebody that's just got oodles of money rolling in it says, hey, listen, take this $1 million, put it on their credit. How does the bank look at you now that you have $1 million setting into your bank account? They say, well, whew, what can I do for you, Mr. or Mrs.? How can I help you? You've got that credited to you. It was credited to him because he believed God as righteousness. 40 times that verse, that word is used in the New Testament. 30-some times Paul uses it. 11 times he uses it in this one chapter. Oh, that has meat and that has potatoes. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. Listen, I know you guys go to work, or most of us go to work, and you do a week's worth of job, and your company has Brenda send you a check in the email and say, hey, here, you're going to get paid for your work. That's what she does for our company. And that comes across in an email, hey, okay, I worked this many hours, I got paid this much. That's awesome. His wage is not credited as favor. You don't sit there and say, oh, Brenda, here, take that back. I wished I was at that point in my life. I say, ah, Brenda, just keep it. Bah. Who needs that? Right? We go to work, we put work in, we put time in, we get paid for the time that we do. If you're on pension, you've put work in. You get paid, you have gotten paid for what you have put in the service that you do. You've paid in your dues. You get paid. But that's a compensation. This is not about a compensation. God doesn't owe people something. God's not in the business of owing. He doesn't lend out loans. It says, hey, I'll pay you back. This is not that process. He owes nobody nothing. He doesn't owe you. We can get rid of the myth here that I'm in the lost tribe in Africa and I haven't seen God. He hasn't spoke to me. He didn't come to me. I can tell you, just stare up and look at the stars. It testifies of God. And you know what? Every one of us, nobody will have an excuse when you stand before God. But as what is due, he gives. But to the one who does not work. This is not about work or not work, by the way. To the one who doesn't work, no, it's not about work or not work. But believe. Siri, believe. Just tell Siri, believe. He believes. He believes in him who justifies who? You and I. You and I. You and I. We're all ungodly. We're all sinners. We all deserve the wrath of God. We haven't earned anything. We haven't lived up to. We haven't worked enough to obtain because we haven't done enough. We haven't fulfilled the rights enough. We haven't obeyed the law enough. Because if we offended in one point, we offended in all. But we have, his faith is credited, bookkeeping term, as righteousness. That's how God sees you today. That's how God views every one of you today. He sees you in that mindset that you're righteous in Him. He doesn't see what was going on in your life. He does identify with what's going on in your life, but He doesn't see whether you are living up to, not living up to. He has a Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. If you've accepted Him, that Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and He is speaking to your heart, and He's prompting you. I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, and I said, listen, you have not told me. You have not told me that you are just incredible. God's doing this. God's doing that in my life. God has led me this way. God I've just had this incredible time in the Word of God, and I've been praying, and God's leading me, and I'm in this ministry, and God's doing this. No, what I've heard you tell me is that you're okay. I said, okay. I understand. So that tells me that you need to get in fellowship, my friend. You need to be around. You need to enjoy these times where we can see one another and pray for each other and bear our burdens to one another and share our hearts with one another. You need to be in fellowship. You're not telling me that you're just on fire for God. You're just telling me you're okay. Well, okay is not okay. And I know the Holy Spirit's on you. And I'm just telling you, I love you. But man, can we sit down? Let's go for coffee. Can we fellowship? Can we do? Can I get you to come to church? I'll pick you up. What do you need me to do? So that you can go beyond this okay. And you can be living a incredible life in fellowship with God. Oh, that's what God wants. I know we're closing here. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Psalm 32, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. I think David identifies. And whose sins have been covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not put bookkeeping onto his account. He's only going to put what he has reckoned, credited as righteousness, onto his account. Amen. Let me just close with this. Spurgeon ended that chapter in All of Grace by telling a story about an artist in the years before photography who painted a picture of a part of the city where he lived. For historic purposes, he wanted to include in his picture certain characters well known in the town. A street sweeper who was unkempt, ragged, filthy, was known to everyone. There was a subtle, suitable place in the picture for him. So the artist found the man, told him that he would pay him well if he had come down to the studio so that he could paint him. He came to the studio that next day, but the artist sent him away because he had washed his face, combed his hair, put on a suit of clean clothes. The artist needed him as a poor beggar. He wasn't invited in any other capacity. Spurgeon applies it by saying that even so, God invites sinners to come at once for salvation, just as they are. Come in your disorder. Come with your confusion. Come with your despair. come filthy, come naked, come dirty. Come with all your sin. Come to Jesus, crucified for sinners. If God justifies the ungodly, and you and I are ungodly, there's hope for you and I. The best news in the world is God graciously justifies the ungodly sinner who does not work for salvation, but rather believes in Jesus Christ. And so, with every head bowed and every eye closed here, maybe you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior. Boy, what an opportunity. The Spirit is prompting. The voice is speaking to your heart. He's not asking you to join a church, but He's asking you to come and enjoy the fellowship and being part of the family of God. He says, come just as you are. Billy Graham, all of his rallies, he would close with that song, just as I am, without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me. Jesus is speaking to your heart here. And I encourage you, ask Him into your heart to save your soul. Express faith to Him that you believe in what He did on the cross for you. Maybe you're here and you're standing in the stead of an unbelieving spouse, an unbelieving child, and you're praying to God for that child, that spouse, that family member, that relative, that neighbor that doesn't know Christ. Stand in that place. Stand in the gap for that person. And maybe you're here watching us online. Maybe you just tuned in by chance, or your wife made you watch it. Well, I sure hope the hound dogs of the Holy Spirit of heaven just come and come after you and press on your heart to receive Him. And so, Father, we ask that You would save souls. Use this church to reach the lost. We thank You for the grace that You have given us that we can be justified, the ungodly, because we have believed in what You did for us on the cross. We ask that You bless us as we go, build us up and encourage us. Now, give us a great rest of the week. And we pray that You would just bless our pastor as he's away with his family. Build him up and encourage him. And we thank You for what You're doing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Bless you. The offering is in the back. Jim is there with a basket. If you're watching and you can want to give online, you can do so. We so appreciate the offerings that you give. Bless you. Have a great week. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming.